Hey friends, in my update video today, I want to share some thoughts about what's been going on this weekend in France with the Olympics, the opening ceremony, the transgender Last Supper skit they tried to pull there, and how should we think or react to that? More about that in a moment, coming to you live from France today. And before I do that, a few quick housekeeping things. I'm in France for the next 10 days or so. Yesterday I was speaking in a church here in my village in France. Had a wonderful time here. Saw several people healed yesterday. Saw a lady whose pain level was 10 out of 10, just like pain from head to toe, and it went to zero. So glory to God for that. I'm going to be in Lyon, France on Wednesday. I'll be doing some evangelism in a market here on the Saturday and speaking in a house church near the city, near the town of Tonce on the Sunday next week, and then back to the US. So appreciate your prayers, and it's great to be here relaxing in the sun in France. Lots of things going on, but as always, if you're not yet getting our email newsletter, I really encourage you to do that. And a big thanks to all of the new subscribers to my YouTube channel. We're currently around about 725,000 subscribers. So go God, go guys for that. Really appreciate your support with those things. And thanks to all of the partners of my ministry as well. We love and appreciate you guys. So sign up for our email newsletter if you're interested in hearing what's been going on. Come on, let's talk about France. It's interesting. I see so many people commenting about this, and I'm not here to criticize anybody. A lot of Christians are, I would say rightly so, offended by what the French did. Let me put my sunglasses on. If you've been living on a rock, basically in the opening ceremony in the Paris Olympics, they decided to put on this kind of theater piece where they had some, like a transgender Last Supper, and frankly, like children dressing up the bodily parts showing, like really, you don't even want to watch it. It was so bad. Few quick thoughts about that. Let me just say that probably why I'm a little bit more qualified than many to speak about that. Firstly, I came to France in 1992, and I've lived here for over 20 years. My wife is French, my kids are French. I'm in France right now. This is my house, my French house. I've planted churches in France. I was speaking in a church yesterday in France. I know a lot about the fair amount about the French church and what's going on in France. So probably I've got a little bit more perspective than some about that. And I want to say that this at the beginning, France is a wonderful country. It really is. I love France. Love being here. Just out with my boys, sitting outside of a cafe. And France is a wonderful country filled with wonderful people. And actually, the main thing I'd love you to catch here is all over France yesterday in churches. I'm not talking about Disney World churches like Notre Dame or cathedrals that tourists go to. I mean, in every French town and city, there are real churches meeting in homes, sometimes meeting in places that don't look that cool. The church, the evangelical church in France, is a little bit like an underground church in a way, because it actually gets a lot of persecution from the government here. But there's a real church alive in France. And many of those Christians are just as outraged and ashamed and as disgusted as my American friends or brethren who saw that as well. So know that there's a lot of real Christians in France who really disagree with that and are outraged by that as well. And maybe I'll finish with this as well at the end, but it's interesting, yesterday in Paris, there were a whole bunch of people, thousands of people it seemed, gathering and worshiping near the Eiffel Tower, lifting up the name of Jesus, dancing with banners, worshiping the Lord. And of course, that is the real answer to, you know, Satan loves to mock God. He loves to mock the Lord. You'll read it in Psalm 2. And it says, he who sits in the heavens laughs, he holds them in derision. And I think the best answer to this is worship. But again, real quick, how should we think about this? Let me say this. France is a very godless country. And I know many people outside of France don't really see that. I know a lot of people in America think about the French Revolution in a good way. I would actually suggest to you the French Revolution was a really evil, godless revolution. You know, in the French Revolution, they massively persecuted any kind of Christians. They killed many, threw them outside. They actually brought prostitutes into the main churches in Paris during the French Revolution and bowed down and worshiped them. And in a way, actually, like, put a finger up to God and said, this now will be our God. This is what we choose as our God. And that's always been very much a part of French ethos. You know, in America, we have an idea of the separation of church and state. It's not in the Constitution. But in a way, the idea in America was that the state shouldn't be meddling in the affairs of the church. The state shouldn't tell the church what to do, not the other way around. In France, there is an idea called la laïcité, like a secularism, but it is very much a godless thing where it's much more akin to Soviet communism, that sees it as the role of the church, of the state, excuse me, to stamp out the church. And, you know, my father and mother-in-law led a church in Paris. My mother-in-law still leads a church in Paris. And, you know, the local communist mayor makes it very difficult. They try to pass laws, try to do anything they can, you know, at times surreptitiously to close churches down and make it difficult. So that's the atmosphere. That's the context in which I am right now today in France. And again, here's the thing, though. You can do nothing against the gospel. Anything Satan does against the gospel will only truly work out for the furtherance of the gospel. So just a few quick thoughts. How should we react? You know, it's interesting with this kind of transgender thing. I have a lot of Christians who, it's like we see the people who are so noisy and at times even filled with hatred on that issue and end up condemning people and give a bad name to Christianity. And it seems because of that, a lot of Christians swing to the other end of the spectrum, the pendulum, the other ditch on the other side of the road, and go, you know, I just won't talk about these issues because they're controversial, or I don't want to be perceived by my secular friends as somebody who's always harping on about these issues. And I understand some of that, but I tell you, the church should be the pillar and ground of truth. And it's our job in the church to stand up for truth. Jesus is the truth. So what should our attitude be towards, you know, like a transgender Rocky Horror Picture Show like this? Let me say this. Firstly, Jesus doesn't come to condemn anybody. He doesn't condemn anybody, and all sin is wrong and all sin is bad. And God's message to every heterosexual, homosexual, transsexual person is repent, is bow the knee to the King of Kings, is kiss the Son lest he turn and strike you. Psalm 2, read it. Is in a way, come to me in repentance, because we're all sinners, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But because Jesus doesn't come to condemn does not mean Jesus approves of everything. Jesus, the woman was brought to Jesus caught in adultery. Jesus says he was without sin, let him cast the first stone. And nobody can condemn the woman because they're all sinners. Jesus is the only person on planet Earth who could throw a stone at that woman. But then Jesus says to the woman, I don't condemn you. But he also says, go and sin no more. He doesn't say, I don't condemn you, so whatever you do is fine. So Jesus comes to not bring condemnation, bring repentance, transformation to all of our lives, but then to call us into a highway of holiness, to call us into a transformed life. So my answer to what our response should be to France is this: we shouldn't be okay with that. And I tell you, there is a time where if Christians back off talking about these issues, they will come and knock at your door. They will knock on the door of your kids. And we need the church standing up for truth, standing up for righteousness. And if somebody is confused about their identity, their sexuality, our job is not to condemn them. Our job is to love them, walk through that. But Jesus, it says in John 1, Jesus comes full of grace and truth. And we are not preaching the real Jesus if we only preach truth and we miss out on the grace part. But we're also not preaching the real Jesus if we only preach grace and don't preach truth. It is not simply love that sets people free. It's truth that sets people free. So what should we do for France? Pray for France. Please pray for France. I think, you know, it will not surprise me if we see worse things happen in Paris and the results that they tend to bring along. You know, I'll just offer this as a thought for somebody living in France. France has a massive Muslim population. It's interesting about, years ago, I don't know if some of you remember about the pastor in Florida who wanted to burn Qurans like live on TV. And at the time, I was pastoring a church in Saint-Étienne, France, not too far from where I am today. And I put out a statement saying, like, what should we Christians do? Should we be burning Qurans? I was like, no, we shouldn't be doing that. Our job should not be to give offense to Muslims or whatever. Our job is to be burning ourselves, to be burning bushes, to be set alight with the power and the flame of the Holy Spirit, set alight with the power and the flame of God's word. That's how we'll change. And I think our answer to the demonic, disgusting show we've seen in the Paris Olympics, I mean, I'm all for boycott the sponsors of the Olympics and complain and write letters and all those things. I don't think it will do much good, but fine doing that. But I think the answer is actually we walk in true communion with God. We be the answer. We heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely we receive, freely we give. I think the answer is we walk in love. We walk in sacrifice. Let me finish with this. I was going to preach yesterday, and before I went to the church I was going to preach at, I stopped at a boulangerie, French bakers. They're just open in the morning in France on a Sunday. And one of my boys went in to buy some amazing fresh French bread. And I sat outside, I parked outside of a bookstore, and I looked through the window of the bookstore. I actually took a photo of this, or my son did. And there was a book there called, it was in French, but it was called something like Finish the Course. And it was a biography. I didn't read it. I just saw the cover, but I'd like to actually go and buy it. It was a biography of Eric Liedl. And it said on the book, Paris Olympics 1924 to 2024 this year, 100 years. And if you've never seen it, I encourage you to watch the movie Chariots of Fire, which is the story of several young men from the UK who came to the Paris Olympics in 1924. And one of them, Eric Liedl, was a missionary. He's from a family of missionaries. He'd been a missionary in China, and at this time he was on furlough in Scotland, and he was an amazing runner. You know, he could run like the wind. And he was called to represent the UK in the Olympics of 1924. And many of you have seen the movie. Of course, he refused to run on a Sunday. And even the King of England, or the Prince of Wales at the time, stepped in and tried to persuade him to run. And, you know, somebody said, are you going to deny, are you going to defy the King of England? And he said, I'll put the King of the Heaven before the King of England. And he refused to run on a Sunday. It's interesting, I haven't read this book and I want to buy it. I think I'm going to buy it. But if you know the rest of the life of Eric Liedl, he won. He ran, he won, not on a Sunday, obviously. He spent the rest of his life as a missionary. And my understanding is he died in a Japanese concentration camp in China. And he spent, I think, something like 2 to 3 years in a camp where, again, with respect to the Japanese people, they were treated horrifically. During, you know, so many people died, disease, malnutrition, abuse by the guards. And yet this man, Eric Liedl, at the end of his life, even though he died, frankly, as a martyr to the cause of Christ, he led thousands to Jesus. I think he led nearly everybody in this concentration camp to Jesus, including many of the Japanese guards. And my understanding is when they buried him, you know, in the funeral, they had a service, even the guards turned up and everybody wept. And everybody said, we've seen a saint living amongst us. And I think that should be our goal, whether we live in France, where I am today, or in New England, or wherever it is. We are saints, but let's live as saints. Let's bring the perfume of the savor of the knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. Let's live out the word of God. Let's heal the sick. Let's set people free. Let's show people that Jesus is alive. And in a sense, our mission isn't to defend Christianity. Our mission is to proclaim Christianity, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come and defend the risen Christ in our midst. Selah. Love to hear your thoughts on that, guys. And if you are on YouTube or whatever platform you're watching this on, do hit the subscribe button down there. And I'll be back soon with some more videos. Bye for now.